We get to celebrate today. Happy Father's Day. Look at the people around you and tell them Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
So this is the thing. I didn't just say look at the guys that are here and say Happy Father's Day, but how many of you know there's some ladies that fill the roles of a father, yeah. All right? There are some people who are looked up to and put in that position, you know? Father's Day is a difficult, as Charles and I were talking before service, he's outside, he can't hear me right now, so I'm going to talk about him. Y'all ready? Let's talk about Charles. No, he said, you know, Father's Day and Mother's Day, those are the ones that the message is always the same, right? There's only so much you can talk about a mother, or only so much you can talk about the father, and we've read the scriptures, we've heard the different things, and that's true to a point, all right? But how many of you know if I say the word father, there is a different opinion or a different thought in everyone's head as to what I'm talking about? And the reason why is because all fathers are different except for one, right? Our Heavenly Father. We're going to talk about Him in a minute. We're going to talk about how we're supposed to be fathers just like we do all the time. But I want you to think about something. Be careful with the people that are around you and be sensitive on certain times of the year, all right? Because some people don't have their father right now, which they did. Some people have their father but don't have a relationship with their father, and which they did. Some people are fathers who's lost a child, and so that day is very difficult. One of the worst days of my life, I think, was the first Father's Day after we lost our first child, right? He would be 16 or she would be 16. I don't even know if it was a him or a her. That's how quick we lost them. And some people are like, well, that doesn't count. Does to me. So he or she would be 16. So, you know, I could still get lost on not having him, my child. And I don't say this to spite any or to be rude or disrespectful. Hopefully, you guys know my heart when I say things up here that I'm trying to do right, right? You guys with me on that? But let me ask you this: if I focused all my thoughts and intentions today on the fact that I lost my child, my first one, what? I'm trying to say this right. I know I was in my head, but I want to get it out correctly. How many of you have that problem sometimes? All right. What do I show my other children about what I feel about them? Just think that thought. Now, there's a time to grieve and a time and a place and everything. And you guys, man, you just went heavy really, really quick. Don't worry, we're going to come out of it. We're going to be a little, maybe, I don't know. We're going to be a little more lighthearted in a minute. But think this thought. When it comes to fathers, let's celebrate them. Let's honor them as the scripture says. You said, well, you don't know my dad. I don't have to know your dad. I know the scripture says that I'm to honor my father and mother. It doesn't say honor only the good ones. Because if you guys remember the situation that we talked about last week, what is good? Is it shopping cart good or is it other good? Y'all remember that? Okay. All right. How many of you are shopping cart good? How many of you put your shopping cart back this week? Because I said that last week. I did it three different times. Like, and one time, I gave it back before I even got in the parking lot. I'm like, look, I'm just going to carry all these bags because I don't want to have to put my cart back. I don't have to be good, right? depending on what good is, I mean, that's relative. That's different in everybody's life. So for me to say that I had a good father, I did. I did. I had an amazing father. But how many of you know even the good fathers see the areas that they're not a good father, right? Right now my kids are in the area, so I was so happy. Talking about the macaroni necklace, I didn't get a or a rhino thing. I didn't get a microphone. Mic. Can you hear me? Messed up. Oh, sorry. I'm getting excited. My mic's falling. So this is. I didn't get a macaroni necklace. I didn't get a turtle rhino thing. I got a paper that my girls worked on hard. So they came to me last night and they said, Dad, put your hand down on this paper. And I did. Okay. And so they traced out my hand. And then they traced out my wife's hand. And both of my girls. And then they traced out my dog's hand and put it in the middle and said, I mean, no, she's part of the family. Socks is part of the family. She's a member. She stays at home a lot, but we don't let her out much, but she's part of the family. We let her go to Rusty's every now and then. He doesn't want to give her back. So I got this, and it says, you're the best dad ever. And all the time, she comes to me, and she says, Dad, you're the best dad. I'm like, if you only knew how bad I messed being a dad up all the time, right? I don't want the teenage years to come, because I hear when the teenage years come, they realize how bad all my issues, right? That's what I said, how bad dads mess up. But then they understand, I guarantee you, because I was a teenager and I thought that at one time, they understand at the end of it how amazing some of the things that their dads instilled and implanted into their lives are. And no matter how bad my dad says, Toba messed up, he didn't mess up. He did a good, I mean, I shake every now and then, but other than that, I'm good, right? But that one time, I don't know. I have an exceptional father, earthly father. I do. And so it's hard for me to relate to other people when they talk about their father not being a good father. How many of you know that, right? But there are some people that have that. And this is what I want us to do today. I want us to look at what Scripture says is a good father. And I want us to base a good father not on what we think of here on earth as being a good father. I want us to look at what the Scripture talks about being a good father, okay? Because how many of you know he's the only good father that we have? Every Father's Day, we talk about how a father is supposed to protect us. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all my needs, or provide for us. I'm sorry, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And then we talk about God protecting us, and we talk about the sparrows are only sold for a penny. Out of Matthew 10:29-31, but God knows the hairs on your head, right? Some of us, he doesn't have to count us high, right? I'm getting it. I'm getting there. He knows it. We talk about how Father is to protect us. We talk about, and I'm going to get more into this one in a minute, how he encourages us. We talk about how he comforts us. And then we talk about always how he disciplines us. I mean, you know, there's different ways to discipline your kids. Not all kids can work with the same discipline, right? How many of you have two different kids and their discipline works two different ways on the kids, right? Your mom was elbowing you on that one. Two different ways. And I can treat this one that way all day long, and I can treat this one the way I do with that one and it not work. And if I use those tactics on that one, it won't work. How many of you know we're all different? How many of you know, I guarantee you, our earthly fathers didn't set out saying, I'm going to be the worst dad ever, right? I think sometimes when I think back about my first child that we don't have, I blame myself a lot for things, and I know it's not my fault, and I know that's not how it works, but how many of you know my mind works that way, so it messes with me. I think the thought, maybe God knew I wasn't ready, right? That's what I think. Sometimes I think that there was another issue, but ultimately, guess what? None of that matters, because God's in control and he knows what's best for me and for you and for my children, right? He knows what's best for his children. One of the things that we don't like is discipline. God disciplines us. Hebrews 12:10, for they discipline us for a short time as it seems best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So today, those are the main topics that you usually talk about on Father's Day. So that's all I'm going to talk about, some of them. A couple of them I'm going to do a little bit more. But I want you to think this thought. There's a country song that I remember out, and it was talking about, how many of you know I like country songs? Sometimes not so much. I like older country songs, I'm just going to be honest. But there was one where it talks about a little kid having his French fries in the back seat and his dad hitting the brakes and them going in the floor, and he says a word he ain't supposed to say, and he says, where did you learn that? Like, I got it from you, Dad. Isn't that cool? That's a no on that one, right? But one thing we do learn from that is that children imitate their fathers. Children imitate their fathers. And I want to take that statement one step further. They don't imitate what they say. They imitate what they do. Right? to imitate what they do. We need to understand that there are people, fathers, as we're in here, that are watching us to see what we do, and their lives will be shaped because of it. But I want us to think this thought, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later too. I want you to think this thought. If God is our Father, then our lives should imitate Him. And think on this. How many of God's traits are coming out of your life on an everyday basis? This isn't just for the guys. This is for the ladies too, because we're all His children, right? How many of God's traits are coming out of our lives? 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of in possessions is not from the Father, but it's from the world." Where are we setting our sights? What are we aiming for our lives to be like? What are we imitating in our lives? Are we imitating our Father, which is in heaven? Today's scripture, I'm gonna bring it out of 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, and I'm going to bring a couple of points out of this. We're going to kind of stay here. I have a couple that I'm going to go to just to kind of bring out my points, and I'm probably not going to keep you too long this morning, but who knows? I might get on a roll and just start talking. I like it. 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12 says this. It says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." Some of the traits that we see here that we need to have in our life, we're going to go over. The traits of a good father. Now, again, this is exactly what Christopher was talking about earlier, about having people that poured into his life in a spiritual manner. I have my earthly father, who was also one of my spiritual fathers, because I go to him about everything. I also have my pastor in Louisiana, Pastor Carl Kelly, who I go to if I have questions, answers, thoughts, problems, and he helps me and is a spiritual mentor for me. And this is what he's talking about here, but these principles, how many of you know, again, spiritual, physical, they both work kind of hand in hand. If the principle works in the physical, how many of you know it's going to work in the spiritual too? If it works in the spiritual, it's going to work in the physical as well. You guys, all right, you guys are looking at me like a dog with a new bowl again. We're going to have to fix this. Everybody smile at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor, smile at them, say, "I love you." And God does too. Okay, now, at least I know y'all are here and you can smile. So if I look back again and y'all be like, I'm going to know something's up. Anyway, the traits of a good father, man, these should be visible to men and to God, right? People should see these in our life. And unfortunately, these first three I'm going to talk about, they're difficult, right? According to that scripture, one of the first things that he talks about, one of the first things he talks about is being righteous. He said, "When you saw us, how righteous we tried to live our lives in front of us." In Thessalonica, there was a big morality problem. Pagan rituals, all these things happening, all these things going on. And the church had confusion as to how to act. How many of you know, if we listen to culture, we will not act what the scripture says? I mean, we just won't, right? And how many of you know, sometimes we get caught up in what the culture says and we forget about what the scripture says? We do, if we're being honest. We need to understand that God has put us in a place, and He's given us His word to help us understand what our moral compass should look like and should be. Amen? How many of you know He called us to high moral standards? How many of you know, y'all ready for Spider-Man quote, "with great responsibility"? Right? Wait, no. With great what? I messed it up. With great power comes great responsibility. Right? It doesn't work if you mess the quote up, Tobe. It doesn't work, man. But what I want you to think about is this: high moral standards equal a high calling from God. Without the moral standards, how can you have the calling in your life? Let me ask you this. And you say, "Well, that's not the callings without repentance." I get that. I understand that scripture. But what I'm telling you is this. What I'm telling you is this. Y'all ready? I forgot what I'm telling you because I'm fixing my mic. What I'm telling you is this. The scripture tells us this. Ready? It tells us that when we're faithful in the small things, bigger things are given to us to be faithful with. Right? If I'm not faithful with the little bit of things that I've been given, how can I be faithful with a lot? You say, what does that have to do with righteousness? That comes with our moral compass, our moral standards that we put into our life. And just because we decide to dull down our standards doesn't mean that God's standards aren't still there and that we need to live by them. Just because the world standards have gone down. Again, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, man, we see the culture. Now, I'm just going to be honest. There's a lot of stuff in our past, in our culture, that was horrible and needs to be done away with. But there's a lot of stuff that needs to stay, and that's our love for God and the way that we allow him to be a part of our life and a part of this country. How many of you know it's hard to live a righteous life? It's true. Y'all ready for me to bring a Bible verse out for you? There is none righteous, no, not one. So you say, well, you're asking me, like with all these three that I'm going to talk about right now, you're asking me to do things that I can't do. You can do it with him. All things are possible. Amen? If we start to live our lives in Christ, if we start to follow the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, our lives will be righteous. Now, I ain't saying I'm righteous because I'm not. I'm messed stuff up. But God's righteousness comes through me to others. Amen? The second thing is blameless. He said how we were righteous and how we were blameless. How many of you know we're free from sin? We're free from sin, but how many of you know sin comes into our lives and tries to take hold of us? We don't have to allow it. And how many of you know I can blame you for stuff you didn't do? So is it even possible to be blameless? Think that thought. Do you know how we become blameless? Y'all ready? In my mind, I'm going to tell you how we become blameless. We become blameless because our character and our past and who we are speaks more volumes than the blame that's coming to us. Right? So if somebody comes to me and says, Aaron said this about you behind your back. I know Aaron. I know Aaron well. And if Aaron wanted to say something to me, he wouldn't do it behind my back. He would just come to me and be like, hey, Tobe, I got to talk to you about something, right? So people can blame him all they want to, but it won't fly with me, right? You guys there? How do we become blameless? Because our character speaks for us, not us. Our character speaks for us, not us. How do we do that? How do we become blameless? 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Right? I keep my life blameless. How do I do that? By living a righteous life in him. By allowing my character, the character of Christ in me. So I say my character. Understand. The character of Christ that's in me, because my character is going to mess it up. You be honest, your character is going to mess it up. But the character of Christ in me allows those things to fall off. As the scripture says that the darts of the enemy will fall away, will have no effect in us, right? The last thing, and it's hard to do, actually it's impossible to do, it's the hardest of all, is to live a holy life. You say, man, you're giving us three challenges, three things that are impossible. Pretty much. But they're impossible for you to do. But again, with God, all things are possible. He allows us to be able to walk this life. He allows us to be able to do that. And how many of you know it's so important for us to live those things in our life for the people who are looking at us to say, how should I live my life? Right? I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said, man, I sure hope they don't pick up those characteristics. I sure hope that this isn't how they end up being because they look up to this person. How many know Scripture tells us that, right? Bad character corrupts good morals, right? How do we live a holy life? What would happen if we lived a holy life? Let's think that thought. What would happen to the people around us if we lived a holy life? I like what C.S. Lewis says. It says, how little people know who think holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it's irresistible. This is the part that catches me. If even 10% of the world's population had it, would not the whole world be converted and happy before the year's end? Right? If 10% of the people on the earth lived a holy life, understood what it meant to be holy, understood that it's not a horrible life. Because that's the lie of the enemy, is that being holy, that living a righteous and holy and a blameless life is boring life. When in fact it's not. So I have a lot more fun today than I ever did before I knew Christ. Right? I do. I enjoy the things that he's put in my life. What did he put in my life? He put my kids. Man, I love my kids. I wouldn't go back and change a thing that I did, only because it brought me to exactly where I'm at now. And had I changed those, I probably wouldn't have met my wife, and then I wouldn't have my girls, and they're some of the most important things in my life, right? I wouldn't be here with you guys, for sure. If I was, it'd probably be in a different capacity. I'm just saying. Just being honest, right? We need to understand that living a holy life is not a bad thing. It's an amazing thing when we understand what it is. Amen? He comes to them in Thessalonica and he tells them, hey, first of all, we tried our best to live a righteous life, a blameless life, and a holy life. And because of that, when we read in verse 12, it says, for you know, like a father with his children. This gets into what we should do to children. Not just our children, but I'm gonna tell you, to God's children. This is how we need to act towards God's children. Y'all ready? The first thing it says, encouragement. We need to encourage each other. Exhort. You guys ready? That's what it says in the scripture. It means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. We need to encourage people to follow. Not tell them, but encourage them to live a life for Christ. We need to encourage them to come to Christ. How many of you know, the message gets distorted with the method used to give it a lot of times, right? The message gets distorted with the method that we use to give it sometimes. I can tell my kids to do something, right? And them listen and everything be good. I can yell at my kids about how they're not doing it and things won't change in my kids. Right? Might change in your kids. In my kids, it won't change. I can yell, I can scream, I can jump up and down. But if I encourage them and say, man, you're doing a great job, let's try to do it this way. You know what? My kids change. Why? I did the same thing. I just said it in a different way. Right? We need to encourage others. A good father encourages his children. The next thing we see is comforts. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Again, we see in the scripture how he gives us things so that we can use them to give to other people. In this scripture, he comforts us in the middle of our issues. He comforts us in the middle of our problems. Why does he do that? So that we can be a comfort to the people that are around us, right? And we ask God, what good can come out of this situation? You don't get it. But then a couple years later, we find ourselves comforting and counseling those who have been through the same issues that we've come through and are now on the other side of. How many of you know it makes me feel better about my situation when I can sit and talk to you about yours in the midst of your problems and I can help you walk through them? How many of you know that brings me comfort? That brings me peace in my heart knowing that this situation, this issue, this problem wasn't for nothing. Right? Wasn't for nothing. Who gets comforted? God's children. Actually, all of us do. Scripture says this, Matthew 5:4, says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We need to comfort those that are around us. And in doing that, we'll find comfort for ourselves. We see that, and now it wasn't comfort, it was prayer, but he prayed. But in Job's life, what happened? When he started thinking about other people and dealing with other people in the midst of his struggles is when his issues turned around. If you read in the book of Job, it says his life turned around when he did what? He prayed for his friends. He started taking the focus off of him and putting it on other people and helping other people. And by that, his situation changed. You know, you're in a rough spot. Maybe you need to start trying to help some other people. Maybe you need to try to start helping some other people. Don't help them be miserable, right? Help them with God's word. Get in God's word. You know how many times I find scriptures that comfort me because I'm looking for scriptures to comfort others, right? How many times I get in my word and I start trying to find something to help somebody get through a situation because they're asking me about how, like I have the answers. I don't have the answers. The book does. I just read it. Sometimes you got to know where to go. Yeah, you got to know where to go. That's why it's important we put the whole thing in. Amen? That's why it's important we put the whole thing in. We need to learn how to comfort others. We need to get in God's word so that we can. We need to understand that a good father comforts. Last thing on this part, this section, then we'll go to something else. You guys ready? We need to urge others to live a godly life. Urge our children to live a godly life. Again, how are they going to see us? How are we going to urge them to do it? By living it in front of them. By living it in front of them. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8 says, Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more and more. How many of you know we need to continue on? We haven't arrived yet. I'm just going to tell you, you haven't arrived yet. There's more that you can do. You haven't arrived yet. There's more that can be changed to be more godly in your life. You haven't arrived yet. We're still on the trip. So you can then, this is a dad quote or a kid quote to a dad. Y'all ready? Are we there yet? No, you're not. Keep going. You're not there yet. You're closer than you were, but you're not there yet. Keep going. We need to keep going. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and in honor. How many of you know that's important for us to have self-control? In every aspect? You know what to honor is not to honor me, it's to honor those that are around me. The self-control in holiness and honor. Not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. Living our lives the way we want, it may have an effect on other people. But the biggest impact is your life. The biggest impact is your relationship with God. The biggest impact is biggest impact in my life is me being able to call on my Heavenly Father. How many of you know He's there and He's listening to me? But I don't feel worthy to come in His presence when I don't live a life like I should. Right? We understand that. It's easy for me to tell you, hey, it's not about that. Go to Him anytime. But how many of you know when I'm the one with the issue, I'm the one that feels unworthy. I'm the one that feels like He doesn't listen, like He's not listening to me. Let me tell you what the scripture says. He's always listening to us. He's always there for us. Amen? So we look at all these things that the scripture says about a father. And I want you to understand that the last thing I want to tell you, and I want to challenge you, is this, is that God, what does our Heavenly Father do? He calls us into His kingdom and into His glory. 2 Timothy 1:9, He has saved us all. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Today, one of the biggest things that we need to understand, that we need to do to imitate our Father in heaven, is to give grace to others. Give forgiveness to others. Y'all didn't shout me down on that one, but you know it's true. Right? We need to give grace to others. We have the issue. We all have issues. We all have issues. We all have problems. We all have areas that we don't do well, right? We all have things in our life that make other people mad just because, right? Be honest. How many of you have pet peeves? You have things that just drive you crazy. How many of you know everybody has those and they're all different, right? Some of them's chewing. Some of them's like, that's mine, right? I saw a thing the other day said, I'm going to make you laugh for a minute. I saw a thing the other day that said that really, really smart people don't like hearing people chew. So I must be like off the charts, right? Woo. There are things that other people do that you do that drive other people crazy and you don't even know it. Right? What if nobody gave you grace because? What if everybody held what you did against you? Right? What if? What if all those people acted like our Heavenly Father and said, I know it drives me crazy when you do those things, but I love you and I want you around me all the time anyway. Right? We want to drive people. We'd be like, all right, I can only handle so much of that person. It's time for me to go. Right? Aren't you glad God doesn't do that to us? I'm going to end with this. I'm about to quit. You ready? Aaron, come on up here. Somebody text them next door. Tell them I got done really early. That way they're ready. This is what I want you to get out of this Father's Day. All of us. I said it earlier, but I meant it. Children of God imitate God. How does your life imitate God? How does your life look like our Father in heaven? How? You say, be honest, when we look at our life in different aspects, different areas, we could say, hey, there's a lot that doesn't look like Him. You ever wonder what you need to change? Look at the things that don't look godly in your life, that don't look like God. Look at the attitudes that we have that aren't godly, and let's fix them. The one thing that I do know is that He loves His children, and He's given us a way to come into His presence anytime. Anytime. He's given us access to Him through His Son so that we can know Him. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me if you would. You got some things in your life that you know don't imitate God. You've got some things in your life that you know probably keep others from seeing God. You be honest and say, I need to get rid of those things. I need to do what the scripture says and give it to Him. My life, everything, the good and the bad. I like the statement, and I can't remember if it was Aaron or John that said it. I can't remember. But it said the only thing, I think it was John, now that I think about it. The only thing that I bring to the relationship with God is my sin. That's the only thing. And how many of you know He still loves me in the midst of it? He's still giving me forgiveness. How many of you got some things you need to give him this morning? Just put your hand up, put it back down. Some attitudes, some thoughts. Some things that don't look like God in our lives. Now, here's the question that I want to get to with that. How many of you are ready to give that to him today? Because it's one thing to know that I have it. It's another thing to give it up. You ready to place it at his feet and walk away from it? Allow him to have it. Allow him to restore you, to bring you to who he's created you to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. You're ready to get rid of those things. Just put your hand up, put it back down. I'm ready to give it to him. Heavenly Father, as we raise our hands, and more than that, man, you see our hearts. You know where we're at. I ask that you would help us be like you more and more every day. That you would help us see your children through your eyes, not our own. I ask that you not allow us to blur, not allow us to wear those colored glasses that we put on, but let us see through love. Let us see them through your grace and mercy, and help us imitate you. Help us look like you so that others can come to know your love, grace, and mercy, to know who you truly are, our Father who loves us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to stand up. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to come back up and dismiss us. Let's worship him for a bit.